That's not an answer.
All right. Well, that's as good a lead-in as we're going to get for this issue. Am I feeling some comic book Bernie? Here we go. Does comic book Bernie Sanders want to bring us into this issue? I think maybe he should.
Comic book Bernie, with apologies to our Italian American friend here. Mr. Angelo and I have a long-standing history. I'm like Alan Dershowitz in Reversal of Fortune. I get pissed off and apparently talk like Christopher Walken now.
You have moved on. You have evolved into Christopher Walken. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
We have a show.
We've moved on.
Without further ado, let your hosts introduce themselves.
I'm scared to talk because I don't know where the walk and pause, the actual length of time would be in the walk. Like, am I going to step on your line? Like, I don't know. I don't know how long. It could be years. He could just sit up from his grave and start talking again.
Pops in when you least. It's like the Mandarin.
You'll never see me coming. Yeah. So we are coming off of the True Comic Crime story arc, which was hefty.
That was a weighty arc.
Yes. There was a lot of meat in there. If that was a dumpling, it was just chock full of pork and spices.
I think that in my virtual literal bowels, there's still bits of that arc that will remain there for years.
Oh, I think so. It's like chewing gum.
It's like, you know, red meat on the bone. Gimli.
Meat's back on the menu, boys.
That's right.
So we're moving on. We're gonna do some light stuff. Every year we do
We're gonna bean sprout it here tonight.
We are. We're gonna tofu.
Bok orders.
A little bok choy. And we're gonna stir fry that. You didn't realize this is the issue we
on the side there for those who like that.
Yeah, a little cabbage. A little bury it in the backyard with a potato if you have a wart. Every year we do a summer fun episode where we just let loose, find a real fun topic, and just don't care for an hour, because usually it's right after a story arc like the last one where I've given up on humanity and don't. I'm done. But this year, just fumbling around on the internet, asking it questions and getting answers, Cole and I came upon what might be one of my favorite topics for shows. Now, we've done Super Sports Balls, and we've done comic book food, The Birth of Batman and the Fourth Meal. We've done the Spooky Stories to Tell in the Dark radio play. We've done some really great one-off.
We've let our hair down in this show from time to time. We allow ourselves that because we do tackle some of the weighty issues. I've just recently finished embedding every single episode.
Right. So you've had a literal
kind of got to look back on our history, you know, and see
right.
what we've been up to.
But
and
not
we
this one.
Did get pretty weighty. Yes.
Not this
we
one.
We won't be discussing the senses or the seven deadly sins or
God, we've done some fun episodes. I feel like we should do a clip show one of these days, like a staged clip show where
yes,
we're talking about, like, we're in the kitchen and we're talking about we're looking
kinda
back.
Like how they do on when they'll do, like, they take a break on wait, don't tell me or something like that, and you just
right.
Well, then there was that time we had.
Exactly. Speaking of whatever it might be, do you remember the time that Kelly Long dropped by the studio?
That's right.
We could cut to, like, that show. I really think we should do. But this issue, we answer a lot of questions on this show. We have a lot of weighty, hard-hitting, journalistic questions of, you know, ephemera and etherealness and opaque in nature, and we try to dissect and really peel back the layers. Not this one.
We are not going to examine ogres or onions.
Shrek jokes.
We're kind of gonna take it easy. We're not gonna quite phone it in because we don't do that here.
No. But we're
falling back on the internet, because the internet truly is the modern Library of Alexandria. If 3/4 of the Library of Alexandria were dubious.
Well, the internet is a cross between the Library of Alexandria and that weird postulation thought experiment where if you put a monkey in front of a typewriter with unlimited time, eventually he's going to type out all the words in the sequential order to Hamlet.
Yeah, and it turned out the reality was he would just create the internet.
Right, and that it's a Mobius strip. It's an Aurora Boris of stupidity and sometimes poignancy, but more stupidity. But we figured we answer all these questions. Where could we go so that somebody could answer some questions for us?
Yes, we have burning questions, and oftentimes they become the topics of this show.
And oftentimes they become the topics of questions asked on our favorite repository for all the answers of the universe, Yahoo Answers.
Yes, indeed. So, the aptly named Yahoo.
I'm so excited.
A friend of mine years ago, when reviewing his stock portfolio, saw that name, thought, that's ridiculous, and sold those off post-haste.
Really?
Because there could be no money in any company that named itself after an idiot.
That's except for the idiots that use it, and now all of a sudden, at the time it was probably worth more than it is now, but we digress. So
yes.
We took some time to research some comic book questions, burning, real comic book questions that people have, and the answers
these
that they're given.
We're actually posted by bona fide people who... went and sought amongst the scholarly world that is the internet, and especially those who use Yahoo Answers,
right,
to find the answers to their questions, and then unwittingly, they're going to have their questions answered here by us as well.
So, yeah, we are going to provide them some answers, and they're going to provide some answers for us. So, the way we're going to do this is we've both done our fair share of research. We're going to present these questions, answer these questions, and then let you know what other people thought and to answer these questions with, their musings. So, Cole, do you want to start, or do you want me to start?
I'll go right ahead. This was actually, your brainchild, so I think that you should be the one to help ease it into this world.
Okay, well, we'll give you a softball. The first one, we'll give you a softball, okay? The question is this. Did he serve in the military, Captain America? ?
Wow.
So
this
what
is
do
serious
you think?
Because yeah. of the sort of trifecta of question marks there.
What do you call an ellipsis of question marks, first of all? Let's figure that out.
But this would be a word for, like, you know, how you have, like, a flock or a gaggle or a pod or a...
Right.
A riot. You know, there needs to be some kind of word for when question marks...
I think that's a clutch of question marks.
A clutch. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's a clutch. So, Cole, did he serve in the military? Captain America? Ellipsis clutch?
It is my belief that, from a strictly comic book standpoint, did he serve in the military? I would say absolutely yes, he did.
Okay. Very easy, right?
Yeah.
If you read the comic books...
It's pretty straightforward.
He served. He served in World War II. He served...
Because he kept getting, like, caught AWOL when he would run off and do Captain America things.
Right.
And show back up. I think so. Finally, it was a choice of, admit that you're a superhero or face the firing squad.
So... Dirty D answers this question. I love this answer, by the way. And this isn't the best one, but I love this answer to this question. Yes, he was supposedly given some kind of special serum to gain his superpowers during World War II, according to the comics. The thing I love about that answer is that we're supposing that in real life it's different, according to the comics.
Yeah, well, you know, the... It's like anything like that. You have to imagine that, you know, based on a true story, as obviously Captain America was to Dirty
sure.
D.
75% true.
You have to realize there's going to be some embellishments.
But my favorite answer to this is this. I have no clue, no idea. Someone answered this question with, I don't know, they took the time to find this question on Yahoo Answers, then took the time to answer the question, I don't know, I have no clue, no idea. They took the time out of their day to type that in on a Captain America
that's
question.
That's literally the antithesis of them. And I think, actually, was that, you've got that up in front of you, was that Bizarro who answered that? Because I think maybe he knows.
Maybe he did have a clue. No, the guy, the person who did that one is No Name. His name is No Name. I like to think this guy just goes to a random Yahoo answer threads and just types that he doesn't know the answer. How pompous and arrogant do you have to be to answer a question with I personally don't know the answer to that, and then scamper off into the night.
That's a new level of arrogance where you have absolutely nothing to bring to the table, yet you celebrate it.
It's like Spring Heel Jack bouncing from building to building.
Right. I don't know.
I don't know. All right, so good.
He gets himself the expert witness list just so he can say,
I have no clue.
In your opinion, sir, I don't know.
So there you go. That's a good easing into what we're going to do. Did Captain America serve in the military? We also have now flushed out what a clutch is. So I'm glad we had that. So Cole, why don't you hit me with one? I want to see what you got. I'm excited. Cole and I have no idea what we found for each other either.
We just jumped into this, and I got curious about a lot of things, and then, you know, that curiosity begets other curiosities. And then, of course, when pet questions are posed, you know, they tend to raise even more questions.
Sure.
And, you know, there's some obvious things. I kind of went in for another softball here.
Okay.
Strongest female superhero?
Just one question mark. Okay.
And that's more of a header, because this post goes on to say, who is the most powerful female superhero? No punctuation there. I am stuck between Storm and Wonder Woman.
Storm. Interesting choice.
I'm stuck with wondering why Storm came into the mix.
Right.
Far more powerful Marvel superheroes. And then the thing about this is, as I say, this raises other questions, because then it raises the question of, in what context are we using the word powerful? And therein I can justify, because that's what I do, I can allow for Storm to be in that mix. Because, you know, if you in a arm wrestling match, it'd be that scene out of The Fly.
Nice reference.
From the standpoint of being powerful by virtue of what you bring to the table, then she can probably be a contender.
Sure. But my answer would be probably, speaking of both power in the literal sense and the figurative sense, I would probably say Jean Grey, host to the Phoenix Force, as well as being a world-class, probably, or the most powerful telepath, literally can bring anything to the table that she desires to bring.
Including another table.
Right. Just, on fire.
You know, who can
fire
do that?
Table. Fire table.
Yeah, will a table, a flaming table.
A flaming...
It's not even really a table. It's just flame in the shape of a table.
Yeah, that's the thing about... You got to watch it when you're hanging out with Jean Grey, though, because anything that she brings will be made of fire. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
It's like, it's like hanging out with an infernal Daffy Duck, because she can like just pull anything out of thin air that she might need. But it's on fire, yeah.
So my answer is Jean Grey. What did Yahoo Answers have to say?
Well, it varies. I like the fact that you get that sort of wide variety. For example, Wonder Woman seems to be a big contender. Well, I'd have to say Wonder Woman. Or I'd have to say Wonder Woman is. She's my fave. So at this point, we're just digressing to playing favorites. It's just become a popularity contest rather than an actual contest of champions, if you will. It's sort of like those Dorman characters from Key and Peele. It's just like, it has to be Wonder Woman. She's my jam!
Liam Neeson! Damn it. damn it. First key, might be the first Key and Peele reference we've ever had on this show.
May well be.
That we have left the audience wanting for that. That's a shame.
I really have been remiss. I recently picked up Key and Peele again, and I'm quite happy I did. But this particular post goes on to say, however, there's always a however, Storm / Rogue.
What?
I don't know if that was that. Did I miss that?
They
combined Firestorm style
into what? That's what I want to know.
It's almost like they are a single entity because it's, however, Storm / Rogue come a close second, with second capitalized, by the way.
Okay.
Extra emphasis.
Sure.
Storm is great. I just noticed there's a lot of extraneous capitalization.
Storm the Emily Dickinson of Yahoo Answers.
I'm going to kind of like accentuate every time there's a... I'd have to say a capitalization where it shouldn't be. Well, I would have to say Wonder Woman she's my fave. Storm / Rogue come a close second. Storm is great with her powers, and so is Rogue with hers. Apparently not as enthusiastic about that one. So I say they are pretty much tied.
That was capital too?
That pretty and much were both capitalized.
You might have stumbled upon the Emily Dickinson of Yahoo Answers.
Oh. Goes on.
Oh no!
The strongest women comic aren't superheroes. It's a toss up between Mary and Jane. Oh, a toss up between, of course, naturally we capitalized, and Jean from X-Men.
Okay. So the mad capitalizer has sided with me.
This is like a vestigial. This is a leftover from that period where like tweens used to go on chat rooms and somehow rapidly articulate or jump between all caps. Would like capitalize every other letter.
I like the fact that you just referred to chat rooms as vestigial chat rooms.
Well, this is just left over from that era. Oh, here we have someone actually quoting a source.
Oh.
Supergirl, according to Wizard Magazine.
Oh, well, yeah. Of all the sources.
Let's just go ahead and end the show now.
Ladies and gentlemen, good night. It's been a great show.
Yeah. Let's just turn it over to the Shamuses, because the one thing they know is superheroes and fart jokes.
That's right. Boobs. Well, we are talking about women, yeah. and I'll tell you right now, Garib and the brother Seamus, they never did anything except for treat women fairly and not sexualize them. So
exactly,
I think I just popped something in my brain. That was an aneurysm.
I think
you heard.
That was actually you were referring to Bizarro World Wizard Magazine.
That's right.
They had an anti-objectification clause.
It's backwards day.
Yeah. So, but according to Wizard Magazine, can currently lift 100 tons, where Wonder Woman can only lift 5 tons.
What?
Storm, although an Olympic level athlete, could not compete with either because she has normal human strength.
How dare she? Damn it, Storm.
I've been a personal favorite because I am very fond of just shameless self-promotion. It's Wonder Woman. I'm inviting you to visit my blog.
It's so nice that Wonder Woman stopped by to invite them to her blog.
And the guise of Alex Cruz 56.
Wow, that was real nice.
Wonder Woman seems to be given the choice, but Jelly Brother says Torpedo Girl from Bobo Storm's cool too.
Storm is cool too. I'll give you that. Okay, so
I could go on for days. I mean, they actually, someone explores very, you know, I don't know if you're talking raw power or physical strength. So here's a look at each one. Here's someone who put a lot, okay, too much thought. We're moving on.
Yeah, we don't care. The poignancy, that's not what this show's about. Yeah. We have 181 yeah. other issues that are poignant. We don't care about that in this issue.
Sorry, guy.
Hey, Cole, I had a question for you.
All right, what do you have? What do you got?
What makes Watchmen so great? I mean, the comic. I haven't seen the movie. My friend told me he read the comic and said it was boring and nothing happened and it's mostly just talking. So, what's so great about Watchmen?
You know what's funny? I actually came across that very one myself.
No, you didn't.
I remember seeing those very words. and then I died a little inside.
Well, I'm curious to know what you think. What makes in the most succinct way possible, because we only have, you know, a finite amount of time.
Let me first say that your friend is completely off base there.
I love the fact that you walk seamlessly between Walken and Sanders. It's just a beautiful tightrope action that you do.
Nothing boring at all. So he had best steer clear of me, or I will bash him with the hardcover slam edition of the book. Then we'll see if it's boring.
Okay, nice. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walken Sanders, for your answer. Now we're going to go to the senator from what I can only imagine is Louisiana. Vern Dragonex.
Vern Dragonex was actually a congressman.
Oh, congressman. I'm sorry. Congressman from Louisiana, Vern Dragonex, who states, "The comic is only so-so, not nearly the caliber of the top Marvel and DC comic lines, but given the characters in The Watchmen, the special effects we have today could make it a good movie. However, from what I've heard, the movie is really banking on extreme violence and nudity scenes to make its big sell. Definitely not for kids." So that's Vern Dragonex's wrong answer.
Vern Dragonex, decidedly unhelpful.
But I think Wild Child delivers the best answer here, okay? "It's not a normal superhero comic. It's actually a deconstruction of the superhero cliché. What if superheroes existed in the real world? In truth, they would be psychotic, nihilistic dictators with serious emotional problems and flaws. Watchmen is more of a comic for adults. It's very philosophical, psychological, and political. Here's my favorite part, okay? There's no mindless violence, sorry." Wait, what?
I don't know. I would have to say there's violence.
Right.
I don't think that they're saying there's no violence. But all the violence is
mindful. It's mindful violence.
It is some of the most incredibly mindful violence. It's no less violent. It is terribly violent.
It is insanely violent.
Every last bit of that violence in its most savage form is mindful.
All right. I secede. I secede the question. I agree with Wild Child. You've convinced me. And I like this. I want to believe that this last one by Aravance is a pun, but I know it's not. I don't find
is
Watchmen.
That's something from that song, Black Betty.
Yeah. Oh, Black Betty. Aravance. Damn it. I hate you so much right now on the inside. But I don't find Watchmen so great, but whatever floats your boat, man, which I really hope is a Black Freighter pun, but I know it's not. So that is that.
Oh, wow. That could have been. You know,
What could have been. So that's mine to you. I think you agreed with you. You, here's what you need to do. I have a new career for you. It's contact people on Yahoo Answers and more eloquently depose their questions to the audience. I think that's your future. The PR guy for random people posting on Yahoo Answers.
Right. I can come step in and see what I can do. Maybe it could be like one of those do-it-yourself shows, or maybe like, you know, Dinner Impossible or something. I come in and help punch up their answers.
I think that's good. You could be like the Bruce Valanche.
Guy goes and bitches at hotel owners.
You could be the Bruce Valanche of Yahoo Answers.
I came in and found their answers wanting. I'm done. Their answers will be amazing.
Just start calling them donkey. That's great. It'll be great. So what do you got? Give me one. Let's keep
it
moving.
Right. Let's see what we got here. Well, you know, one of the things is, you know, you don't mess with the Batmans.
You don't. Batmans.
You don't mess with the Batmans.
You don't mess with my Batmans.
You don't mess with the Batmans. The Batmans will mess you up.
That's right.
So a lot of guys try to mess with the Batmans.
By the way, future episode, guys messing with the Batmans.
We have to do a Batman Rogues Gallery episode one time.
Yes, called Don't Mess with the Batmans.
Don't mess with the Batmans. So the question is, Batman, smartest and dumbest villains?
Okay.
Who do you think are some of his smartest and dumbest villains?
Smart. Okay, so obviously Tweedledee and Tweedledum would fall.
I think that, you know, half the team there is a giveaway.
Yeah, Solomon Grundy. I'm going with dumbest first. Solomon Grundy. Dumbest. Okay,
Solomon Grundy couldn't even get into Bizarro Mensa.
That is a good. Are you going on Kimmel? Are you working out like a hard 8-minute set out? Because that's good. You should. You need to workshop that a little. But I think it's good.
We'll run around.
Smartest Joker, Riddler. Is the Calculator considered a Batman villain? I don't know.
I'm not sure who he belongs to, but I think he's come up against.
It was in Batman that because he wore the big dumb calculator suit at first.
Yeah,
I also think
I was flashing back on Calendar Man.
Well, I think Calendar Man falls into the dumbest criminal.
Yeah, he's just
cadre.
Bad idea, you know.
So you're right. That's just not good or bad. Just
cape, and it just begged you to tear pieces off of it.
Well, you know what? Batman didn't bring him down. You know what brought him down was leap years. That's what brought him down. I mean, never plan on a leap year.
You mentioned Spring Heel Jack earlier. It was sort of like leap year just sort of leapt about.
I think leap year needs to be a character. We need to workshop that character for the Muggerville 7.
I can see leap year as being a periodic hero.
Just get superpowers in the most unfortunate time once every 4 years and then doesn't have them anymore. Best to plan meticulously for 4 years before he has the opportunity.
I can just see, though, like Calendar Man being in the middle of a caper and then having to rush home because he forgot, you know, it's like June 30th, 11:55. He's like, sorry, guys, I left July cape at home.
Yeah, I got to go back for my July cape. Nice.
It's practically the same. It just has one extra leaf on it. Well, they all say July.
That's right. So, okay, so that's...
Did it say July? No, it says June. Okay, so...
So that's my... those are my picks. That's what I think, at least.
Yeah, I think, you know, the smartest man in the room has to be Ra's al Ghul.
Okay, I'm with it.
Because he just, like, you know, he's driving through. He's, like, on his way somewhere else. And stops in Gotham to fuel up one day. Sees an article about Batman in the newspaper, which, by the way, he doesn't bother buying. He just sort of reads the front page.
Sure, as he drives by, just stops briefly.
Doesn't want to bother Ubu there. So he's gets kind of curious about this Batman guy, and later he's like, okay, I tell you what, why don't we just stop for lunch? And by the end of dessert, he already knows Batman's Bruce Wayne.
Right. Oh, for sure.
It's just like figured it out, just from scanning that newspaper article and listening to gossip.
Right, right. Do you think, quick question though, how do you think that the employees of the Franklin Covey store in the mall feel when Calendar Man comes in?
They're a little nervous because
it's like they exhausted? Are they just exhausted though? Like,
I think though they're a little worried. It's sort of like, you know, when some art finally let out of prison and he goes and visits the Louvre or something. They're
right.
Going to be watching him. They're like assign the new guy to follow him because it's bound to be some kind of caper.
Right, right. Or he just likes to be among his people and his people are calendars.
I guess he feels like the Trevor / Mandarin in that apologetic little short film they did.
Right. All right. So
do
what...
over for. Okay. Yeah. So the smartest and dumbest villains. The winner of the best answer
award of sorts.
Who was honored with that because either you decide within the first like 9 days or Yahoo decides for you. Found that out the hard way. says, it's a tough call on who is the exact smartest. Bane is the only villain to have beaten Batman since he shattered his back.
He.
And Bane made sure he was worn out first before attacking, and he knows Batman's identity and is said to know several languages.
Okay. So he has a Rosetta Stone subscription.
So he has
a Rosetta Stone subscription, and he's one of 1,000 people in Gotham City that knows Batman's secret identity. All right.
Yeah, for their school children who wander by regularly. Batman, Batman, Batman. Go away.
Go away.
Wayne Manor.
Go away.
Batman isn't here.
What are you doing out so late? It's 2 a.m. Let me enjoy my chalupa.
My Mexican taco. Leave me alone.
My Mexican taco.
My Mexican pizza. Damn it.
No, I like Mexican taco.
They're new.
They're new. You haven't heard of them. They're cool, though.
They're cool. Roz may be the overall smartest, seeing as he has centuries of wisdom and experience to go by. Again, don't mistake age for wisdom. As being another villain who knows Batman's secret, Joker kind of flip-flops between extreme cunning to the point where even Batman has trouble, to the point where a regular cop could solve his crimes. I'm guessing solve. There was a missing, a silent V there. And, of course, with the dumb end of things, we're going with Killer Croc. I love this. Well, Killer Croc has a disease, so I'm not sure if I'd count him.
What? That's horrible.
Animals are naturally dumber than humans.
Animals are naturally dumber than humans.
And
oh, that's fantastic.
I love this, though. It goes on, Humpty Dumpty is mentally retarded.
Oh, that's just...
Yeah, that's mean. That's like that scene in Being John Malkovich where the guy comes out and says, I really love how you were in that movie where you played a retard. Because my brother's a retard. And it was good to see retards portrayed on the silver screen so passionately.
Yeah, this...
It's just like, okay, yeah. But apparently, you can actually quote sources. You can actually toggle where it says sources.
Right, right.
Sources, Batman fan. So our best answer comes from someone who paraphrased the information he got from a random Batman fan.
Just a guy in a comic shop.
Yeah. And like, wait a minute, you don't get to do that.
No,
but then you look at the competition here. Smartest Joker, dumbest Killer Croc. That's it.
Okay, all right.
Not so much I'm going to commit to that. Smartest Bane, because many villains say he is genius-level intellect, and he broke Batman's back, which apparently means you're smart. Ra's al Ghul is pretty smart, too. Dumbest Humpty Dumpty, because he's mentally retarded, and Killer Croc's pretty dumb, too. So they.
Well, he's an animal, so animals can't be smart. All right, let's stay with Batman.
All right.
All right. I want you... this is the question, and it's a question that's been on a lot of people's minds recently, so it's poignant. Okay?
Meet some.
Who was the Joker in the Batman series? I mean, what made him turn into the Joker? Who was he before the Joker? Is the Joker still alive in the comics? That's the question.
That's a lot. It's like a four-parter.
It is, but just who was the Joker? Let's go with that. Like who is the Joker?
He's just this guy, you know.
He's just this guy, you know. He's the guy. He comes around the neighborhood every once in a while. He's got a nice car, you know, not for
nothing.
Like,
hey, who's the Joker?
Who's that Joker over there? You know,
who's the Joker with the pasty face and the big old smile. You cracking wise over there? What's going on, Joker?
Old Johnny Verde hair day over there? Yeah.
Hey, I got your Joker right here, Mr.
Can we take a second and just pause? Because it's been a while since I've had a really good one, and Johnny Verde hair day for me was that one.
I thought that was just like a phrase you were coming up with. But
that I feel good. You can use that in your in that what you're taking on Kimmel if you want to. I'm just putting it out there. Okay. Okay,
that's pretty impressive. That's gonna be my new screen name,
Johnny Verde Hair Day.
Yes, indeed.
So he's just a guy, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that the idea behind the Joker, and you know, I'm loath to get behind real identity unknown,
right?
Because you know, my friend David Buns, who's been on some of my shows, some of the podcasts in the past. Really decried that and got me thinking about her, about this issue is like when the Who's Who and Marvel Universe were coming out, there was a lot of real identity unknown. He's like, well, somebody knows. They know. Somebody somewhere has to know.
Right.
I mean, just because, and you know, it just sort of bothered him. And I thought, you know, I can understand why as a publisher you want to kind of keep that under wraps, but it did inform me as, a would-be or a an aspiring comic writer to ensure that every character had some sort of background, even if it's never revealed.
Sure.
But, you know, going, speaking to specifically to the Joker, I think he was always meant to be a mystery. I don't think when he was created, they really wanted, and in a way it was kind of unique for its day, because they didn't care
right.
who he was. You know, Joker, Joker, we got Joker here. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. That was good.
So, who he is, I think he is literally meant to be an everyman, and that is definitely underscored in The Killing Joke.
Right.
Where you get this sort of working class Joe who is a nobody.
Right. And you would be surprised. Most of the answers agree with you. And most of them cite The Killing Joke as a really good origin for the Joker. So you have people in there, you know, saying the Joker is still in comics. He was a chemical engineer. He wanted to be a comedian, but he sucked. So his wife is pregnant and he needed... You know, they go through the entire Killing Joke backstory. They explain it very eloquently. You've got people that, you know, say that... that go through a lot more than that. The Jack Napier stand-up comic Red Hood storylines. But then you've got my favorite. So the question was, remember, who was the Joker in the Batman series? The winner for me goes to Flick. Flick answers, Heath Ledger was in The Dark Knight. Cesar Romero played the Joker in the TV series, and Jack Nicholson played him in the first Batman movie.
Very good.
You are the winner, Flick. That's my favorite.
Owned that one.
That's my favorite one.
Yes, Flick absolutely owns that.
Yeah, Flick went straight for literal translation. Like there was nothing to be weeded through there. Just this is who played the Joker. This is who was the Joker.
That's right.
So that's that one.
You ask that question, you get your answer.
That's right. Be careful what you wish for. So that was that one.
I like that very much. Well, you know, one of the things you get in posing these types of questions is a tremendous... you have to allow a tremendous latitude for presumption.
Sure.
Because, you know, a lot of this stuff, it's not exactly adequately explored anywhere. So one of the things I got curious about, I thought, you know, somebody's bound to have posed this question. And sure enough, I was not disappointed to find that someone, probably a lot of someone's, but I just sort of zeroed in on one, Darth Vader versus Batman?
Oh, no. Fantastic.
But it gets better. Okay. I was having an argument with a friend of mine, because we're both nerds.
Sure.
And nerds argue, I guess. I see. Because they were nerds, this was the argument they're having. I was accusing us of being really bitter and
just that's all we do. That's our racial trait.
Yeah, we're very vitriolic in that way. We just.
I'm not saying he's wrong about that.
Nerds are a recalcitrant bunch, but I said it would be Vader. I'll give my reasoning after I get some good answers.
Oh! Oh, wow. He's got a rebuttal built in. All right.
So I will save the update until... first, let's explore this a little bit ourselves, especially since I'm, you know, co-hosting the Rantcore Pit. This is exactly the perfect crossover, the perfect synergy between my two shows.
It very much is, yes.
So, begging the question, Vader and Batman, and, you know, the fan film of just the same that explores this notwithstanding, where are you headed with that?
Well, I always say, Batman wins any fight with enough preparation. I don't care whether you have the Force or not, Batman would win the fight with enough preparation. I will say that. But, because Batman would probably set off to try to figure out how to use the Force. He'd get some he would buy Metachlorians from some Bothan spy somewhere, have him steal them for him. You know, he'd figure out how to get them injected. He'd spend 5 years in a Bacta tank. You know
what's funny is I saw, when I was trying to find some flavor art, I actually saw an illustration someone did of Batman with an IV bag of Metachlorians.
See? I believe that given...
Force-choking Vader.
I would like to see this written by, like, a Matt Fraction or a Grant Morrison. Like, actually, you know, fleshed out. does you know, like how would this go down? But I do believe, the fight would be very tough, but I also believe that Batman would win, and then would become the right hand of the Emperor, and become, I don't know, Darth Gothamus, whatever, you know, speech
Darth
impediment.
Gothamus, or was it Darth Heron, what was your...
I think that Batman wins with enough preparation, but not given enough preparation, I think that Darth Vader would win hands down. I think you would have to give Batman like 10 years to prepare for that fight, but I think he could win. That's my answer.
I think, you know, that seems to be a consensus view for some, but the prep time is the big thing in most of those siding with Batman.
Well, my argument for that is Darth Vader never did anything fast.
Well, he may never have had to, you know.
That might be true as well.
Yeah, you know, the wheels of the Empire used to grind pretty slowly, too. So, you know, some people kind of ride the fence. It depends. If Vader still has had the Force in Gotham City, then he would be my vote. But Batman can throw one of his Bat Ninja Whirly Blades. Sorry, not an official nerd yet.
Oh, but working on it, but in
so
training.
Alejandra D was not quite prepared to be argumentative. And Darth Vader, when he's not looking,
what
good is the Force when you've been bladed from behind? this one is a curious answer. Seems pretty simple on paper to me, guys. Two words. Death Star.
That doesn't make
pretty
sense.
Pretty sure none of Batman's gadgets and martial arts will save him when Darth Vader can destroy entire planets. Which, you know, technically is incumbent heavily on whether or not there's an operating Death Star at present.
Or...
because of those pesky rebels.
Or whether Batman is on a planet.
Yeah. You kind of have to be there when it's destroyed to be defeated.
Right. There's a lot of variables, a lot of moving parts in the Death Star kills Batman plan, I think. Too many.
Yeah.
And we all know how the Empire works with moving parts. Not too well.
All Batman would need to do is throw one of his little whirly
ninja
whirly blades into the small thermal exhaust port just below the main port.
That's right. The Batwing comes flying down in the front of some Y-wing fighters.
So Dark Boy flies his Star Wars flag. Darth Vader would rip Batman apart. Batman is a good acrobatic. He's a good acrobatic.
What?
But good acrobatics are insufficient next to the power of the Force.
Good acrobatic.
Some just simply say either Vader.
Sure.
Or in the case of Berserk, Batman forever. And how dare you?
How dare you?
It may have been inadvertent, but seriously, how dare you? Best answer came is Darth Vader. It doesn't matter whether or not Batman has his tank or his vehicles. The lightsaber can rip through those machines. And even if Batman had his tank, I'm sure Darth Vader would have his own spaceship. That's just like a little kid. Well, Vader would have a spaceship.
Vader would have a spaceship.
Darth Vader also has a Force, so he could win. No amount of kung fu, martial arts, etc. Which, by the way, Jagdeep asks, kung fu is a martial art, can protect you from something you can't dodge. Batman would probably wouldn't see it coming. Even if he did, Darth Vader can jump around like crazy and kick his kick his three asterisks. He's experienced. Vader wins. So in the update, our poster here gives his thanks for backing me up, people. I took the side of Vader, and now I'm going to rub these answers in his face.
Good for him. Good.
This shows you the power of Yahoo Answers.
The power. I assure you, Yahoo Answers will be fully operational by the time your friends arrive. Oh, I've got one that's pretty close to yours. So, I've got this question to posit. How strong is Superman? Okay, we all know Superman can't die because spelled B-C-U-Z, in the animated movie Superman Doomsday, he didn't die. His organs slowed down so he could heal. But how strong is Superman? How much can Superman lift in the animated movie version of Superman?
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, yeah. There are some winners in here, by the way. This is big time.
That is. We're taking that one to a different level.
Yeah, there's some serious winners. But what do you think? Just how strong is Superman? Like,
Superman is like, you know, if you took like King Kong on steroids.
Okay.
And then gave him like Captain America juice. I'm kind of channeling Ninja Horley Batman.
You are, and you're not the only one. Trust me, it'll get there.
So, I think, you know, if you took all of that and then put him on like some kind of extreme, was it CrossFit regimen?
Sure, sure.
For a while, and even then, this roided up, overly trained, bulked up King Kong, giant gorilla, would still find himself lacking.
I think that's accurate. I think that's good.
Yeah.
We get a lot of really good answers in the Yahoo answers for this one. You know, people stating that there's no official mark as DC keeps changing it. It depends
good
on the
point.
Yeah, it depends on the solar energy. His power can be in flux. You know, there's all kinds of really kind of poignant answers. You know, one of my favorites is, while the animated versions are strong, they're ultimately pretty weak compared to the comic book version. He's knocked a character out of orbit with a single punch, bench pressed the equivalent of Earth for 5 days without breaking a sweat, split the moon and Pluto in half with one punch, broken and defeated enemies who've never been hurt in centuries of living. I don't know why centuries period would be fine. I need a red pen for this. Ultimately,
I think, though, the centuries of living, it seems like, well, you're like beating up on an old geezer. It doesn't
Right.
shed a very good light on Superman.
Respect your elders.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can beat up the old guy. You know, ooh, look at you. Tough customer.
And I like this line in here because it means nothing. Ultimately, he will always be the strongest simply because he's the first. He had already done it all before most of us were born.
That's, again, it comes back to that presumptuous nature.
I just feel like the Midnight Rider, I feel like that should be read by Morgan Freeman, and then the Midnight Rider should play in the background as Superman rides off on a Harley. Just driving off into the sunset.
He was here before it was just...
But
Andy Dufresne,
and Andy Dufresne was free.
That was the time Superman came.
Yes.
To drop off Richard Pryor.
So, but that by far is not the best answer.
No, it couldn't be.
So let me, that is a more thoughtful answer. I like the Morgan Dufresne, or the Morgan Freeman, Andy Dufresne, Shawshank Redemption in there. There are two really good answers back to back here that I'm going to give. So number one is by Brownie Milkshake. Superman is so strong that he can go into the future and punch you in the face, and then he would have to go back in the present and ask you if it hurt. But you wouldn't know what he was talking about because he did it in the future, so you must wait until it happens. That's how strong Superman is. That's fantastic.
That is, I'm rendered speechless.
That might be my favorite answer of all the ones I researched. But the second answer to that just says over 9,000.
Over 9,000. Over 9,000 pillows?
I don't know, but over 9,000, dude. Come on. Really? Over 9,000. Why are we even having this conversation? Over 9,000. So that is how strong is Superman? Cole, cleanse my palate. What have you got? Because how strong is Superman? Punch you in the face in the future, come back and tell you and ask you how it felt, but you don't know. So wouldn't that really be just Superman inconveniencing himself to have to sit there and wait for however long it took?
An illustration of how powerful he is.
That he's willing to wait?
With great power comes the ability to inconvenience even yourself, just to prove a point.
Right.
But at the same time, he could simply say, how does that feel? And by the time you said what, he's knocked your block off. I mean, you don't really have to go back in time or forward in time to hit someone.
No, you don't. You could just
and
hit someone.
If you, depending on how far forward in time, like if you had to travel through time and space, like you traveled a week ahead and the guy's already, you know, he's gone to go get a coffee, and you have to go track him down, and you hit him, and then meanwhile he's having to wait. It has like one of those delayed reaction, like pow, pow, ninja death touch. You just don't know when it's going to hit.
Whirly ninja thingies. Yeah, it's you never know.
It's just, you know, that it's almost becomes a pointless non-issue that. Because him going forward in time and hitting you and then going back in time to ask you how it felt is rather irrelevant, because then you're going to have to wait till the day that he shows up. And
right.
It's not like he just came up and, like, you know, like he didn't know it was coming. He's like, oh, there's Superman again. Last time I saw him, he asked me a stupid question. Maybe I should ask him what he meant. And then he punches you. And, oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You do realize I'm over a century old.
To tie it all back together,
right.
I was here. I'm the strongest because I did it all before you were born. I got all to keep on just driving
and,
down.
And then the guy's like, "Well, I'm 1,000 years old." He's like, "Yeah, but I went back in time and did it all anyway."
That's right, Jack Reacher. I don't know. I saw the first still from the new Jack Reacher movie and got excited.
Oh, damn you!
Yeah, it looks like Tom Cruise. It's just Tom Cruise, you know, in a t-shirt. So it's Jack Reacher.
But you know that it's Jack Reacher. So
but
it
you know,
it's
but,
like you've been punched
from the future past.
From the future, yeah.
You've been punched from the future past. Hey, that's an AC/DC song, isn't it? Like, future past.
It's like you've been punched by Jack Reacher, and then. 3 weeks later, he comes up and says, how did that feel?
Three weeks later, he comes up, reaches in your pocket, and pulls out his bus ticket. What?
That's right. Like, thanks for holding it for me.
Thanks for holding it for me. All right. What do you got over there? Bring it home here.
All right. I've got a lot of things that I was curious about, like worst superpower ever.
Okay.
You have three sentences, no more, no less. Go. Here you have someone posting not so much a question as a challenge.
See, identify Jack Reacher from photos alone. That's the worst superpower ever.
That is a good point, yeah.
That's my superpower, apparently.
Yeah, like, other people like look and they're like, born on the 4th of July. Nope, Jack Reacher.
Just
photo, you knew. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Just from the photo.
I do two things. I drink, and I know Jack Reacher pictures from just the picture. No captions needed.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because without ever even seeing this, the best answer, I don't know whether it was chosen by Polly Esther, in parentheses, Punky Redo.
Punky Redo! That's two names that aren't necessary either one.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Wolverine has the worst superpower ever. All he can do is get drunk and pick fights. That's not a superpower. It's a cry for help.
That's actually pretty good, though. I like that.
In fact, the asker of the question actually rated that 5 asterisks or 5 stars or whatever.
Whatever it might be, yeah. That's really good. I liked that one a lot. Are there any other good ones in there, or...
This one, I think, is a little misinformed about the nature. Maybe they've seen too many movies. The worst superpower is X-ray vision. All you can do is see what people are hiding underneath their clothing. That's why the X-ray machine at the airports were invented. I guess they mean, like, if you put a person through the...
Right.
The thing you put your luggage through, maybe that...
Right, and also we now know that the only thing that this person would use X-ray vision for is checking out boobies. That's it. That's really...
What's going on? Because from the Avatar, I like this one because this sounds like something right out of Muggerville. Baby diaper change man, you can change a diaper in 2 seconds.
That's really
rough on the child.
It has to not be good for the kid, but actually a really, really functional superpower if you're a new parent. So,
and here I'm going to take issue with the heart squiggly line. Asterisk thing, B, asterisk thing, squiggly line, heart.
Sure.
Who very glibly, because I'm just, you know, channeling on the picture there, and apparently only has a 5% best answer rating. The power of reading books, that power is so useless.
Wow.
So, here we have this. She will be crewing on a salamander in the terrible Ray Bradbury future of Fahrenheit 451, obviously.
Right. Nice. I think we have time for One more apiece.
All right, I think we'll let this one rest here because, you know, the Wolverine cry for help.
I think that wins. But speaking of Wolverine, this dovetails nicely into this question, okay? Can Wolverine from the X-Men die? If so, how, Cole? That's the answer.
Oh, can Wolverine die?
And if so, how?
I want to say that he can die.
Okay.
And I'm going to kill him in the most natural way possible.
Okay.
Because, you know, his power is to heal wounds or heal from, you know, to the point where, like, you know, he can smoke like a chimney and drink like a sponge and none of that affects him because his internal organs are constantly on a healing process that never becomes detrimental. His body never attacks itself, like, say, psoriasis.
Right.
But, you know, there is sort of a, even as Homo superior, Wolverine is still intrinsically a mammal.
All right.
And there is some basic tenet of mammal, the mammal biology, that it's almost like Blade Runner. There's a built-in time limit.
Right, right.
Supposedly, I forget what the exact number is, but there's only like X number of million heartbeats a mammal can maintain. And I think that the sheer irony in the death of Wolverine is old man Logan's out there trying to find a stogie in the remains of what civilization is scratching out an existence in this post-apocalyptic nightmare. I haven't read old man Logan. I don't know what if it does. It take place in a dystopian post-apocalyptic nightmare.
You pretty much just gave us the plot of old man Logan is
okay,
what just
good.
Happened.
Yeah, so it's just pretty much him being like the like Tallahassee and Zombie Land, only he's obsessed with cigars instead of Twinkies.
Nice. And, well done. It's a good reference.
And, you know, one day he's out, like, you know, kicking through the stones. Maybe, you know, the old Dutch Masters factory he's finally found it. He's just trying to find that one last, even some unrolled tobacco. Anything would be nice. You know, he can make fire happen, no problem. It's finding the tobacco products, especially because toward the end of civilization, so many people went to vaping.
Right? Just,
and, you know, that nothing pisses him off. This trail, there's like a trail of like shattered, cut into three pieces, three or four pieces, old different vapo sticks.
It's just laying around.
Looking for old man Logan, just follow the sad trail of these things, these artifacts of an era in which he did not belong.
So good.
And yeah, and then one day he's like, you know, pulling back and he finds like an unopened, partially crushed, under some rubble that somehow has acted as a natural humidor.
Sure,
so he's like, he can tell from like 12 blocks away. He had scented in on the freshest cigars left on Earth, and he reaches down to pick one up, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's like Life of Brian. I'm in a cardiac arrest. Keels over dead.
There you go. Like,
that
natural,
is how you kill Wolverine.
You
kill
wait
with,
it out.
You kill him with science.
You wait it out. That's what you do.
The biology, evolution, God, regardless of where he came from, there's a built-in internal clock there.
And he
wound it down.
The Logan's Run postulate.
Wow.
That's what that is. But yeah, so Yahoo Answers goes on to list just a litany, just a veritable cornucopia of ways that Wolverine...
Don't ask, the chances are you're an authority.
Might die. Just so many ways. A lot of them do end up with old age. He's not immortal. He just has a healing factor, so you were right.
He can't heal old.
But, you know, they go on to say he can't die, but he can be, you know, oh, this is the subject of endless debate. Endless Socratical societies far into the future will discuss whether Wolverine can be killed. But things like Loki could open up a portal to space and send him into stuff, but perhaps your head explode. Perhaps you suffocate and die. Perhaps your healing factor keeps you alive. You know, even if you could, he would die again immediately if he, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. But the best answer by far, and they go on to say things like he got his adamantium ripped out during the first Civil War. He took a nuclear explosion and survived it. But Here You Go by Devin M. Okay, this was fairly recent. Only 7 months ago was this answered. Okay, so if anyone reads this, the only way you kill him is cutting his head off. Don't bring human needs into a superhero discussion, period. And if I don't drowning him would do anything, since he is shot in the head twice with Anime Anthem bullets and lives. Learn and
Anime Anthem bullets.
That's what it says. Learn and know.
Was it like play the theme song to Voltron? Is like,
yeah, I think so. I think so.
Target.
Learn and know what you're talking about before you give answers. Oh yeah, Gene rips off all his skin in the third X-Men, so you're wrong again. Oh yeah, he blocks a nuke with his body, so I say again, the way to kill him is by cutting his head off. And to do that, you need an adamantium sword or blade, and oh yeah, it needs to be superheated.
Well, I'm sorry, I was taking some notes there.
You basically just need... He uses oh yeah as bullet points, essentially.
Yeah.
So just every time he says oh yeah, just make sure that that's the bullet point that you use. Oh yeah, it needs to be superheated. I'm sorry, I retract my before answer. This is actually my favorite answer that I researched. I love the line in here, learn and know what you're talking about before you give answers.
Yeah, it's important to really give the most informed answer you can, and obviously this guy did his homework.
Chastises everyone else who answers.
Yeah, like that professor in the paper chase. You know?
It's like, you fool. He's like the Gandalf of shitty Yahoo answers.
Yeah, like, this guy comes hoving in like Green Arrow, like, you have failed Yahoo Answers.
That's, you fool.
That's right.
All right, so that's that one. Cole, you bring us home. Bring us home.
And a special thanks to Sherlock Holmes for ferreting out the actual answer and informing all of us just how blatantly obvious that was.
Right.
This one is comic related.
Okay, I like it.
It caught my eye because it was a curious question. I thought this might be interesting because it came up in a whole different kind of search. And should I go to Comic-Con with just my parents?
Oh, the answer is no.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all the answer you need.
Well, the thing about it is, the question itself lends one to imagine that going with your parents means you have no other option. In other words, you are of an age that your parents, we would all be more comfortable if your parents were there as guardian and chaperone.
Sure, sure.
I know this is very, very, very weird and stupid question, but I want to go to Comic-Con next year, and I don't know if I should go with only my parents or invite some of my friends to come along with me. I mean, would Comic-Con be suitable for 40-something-year-olds?
Okay.
Either I have grossly misinterpreted the age, or this is the most frightening circle of friends ever. I don't want to be the only one interested there. Assuming, I guess his parents don't care, he's going to force them along anyway.
Right, right.
And have them stand around with bored looks on their faces. Also, I'm Asian.
Oh, would well, it, there it is.
It's better. Would it be weird if Asians go to Comic-Con?
I did ask you to bring it home.
Smiley face, by the
you
way.
Delivered. I asked you to bring it home. You absolutely delivered, so thank you. Thank you for that. What are some of the answers that are given? I'm real curious. Real
this one,
curious.
I don't know if this is helpful or racist or both. Comic-Con equals cartoons and comics. Anime equals cartoon. Manga equals comic. Cosplayers equals 50% anime manga. Asians will fit in, do you have to ask?
What?
Well, essentially, this is some hillbilly logic here. That the only way that this could possibly appeal to an Asian audience is if you Asianize it. What we call a cartoon, you call anime.
You know them moving picture drawings.
You call manga.
Manga.
About half them cosplayers is Ann and me and Manja. Hell yeah, son, you can go right on in.
Oh shit, enemy enemy manches, and they have a big old hair and the eyeliner's on. Yeah. They got them boots that go up to their ankle.
Big old ass eyes and their belly button hanging out, and got them little teeny boppers running around. You don't know what's
always crying and sweating a lot. You know them there manches.
I can't tell the 12-year-olds from the 30-year-olds. What the hell am I gonna do? I don't want to come out looking like some kind of prevert.
It depends on whether your parents done did turn bad not yet. You know when them Asians get to about 50, they go from looking 12 to looking about 80 overnight. Depends. Can you put them in a Goku costume?
Were this bordered on racist?
I took it there. Yeah, listen, I was doing an impressionary bit of the guy that wrote it. I'm not a racist. I'm just showing you that he's a racist.
Absolutely, and you did well.
You said kimchi earlier. I'm just saying.
Saying kimchi.
You're a racist. You said it. You started me on this path.
This is a circuitous answer here. You can if you can't go alone.
Okay.
Can't and alone were in all caps. But it's better with friends. Trust me, I've been there with and without my parents. I'm also an Asian. Come on.
Well.
Self in character. Though I cosplayed here in the Phil. Philadelphia, I'm guessing. Sources, experience.
Oh, the source of the experience.
Right out of the School of Hard Knocks, let me tell you right here.
Oh, man. I don't even know.
Here we go. This actually lets borderline racist off the hook a little bit. No, you can't bring them people. You can't bring them. People over 35 require an OPP. Old people pass.
What?
People like Stan Lee. Just go with your buddies. WTF is wrong with you. Should I bring my parents?
Thing.
The icon looks like a guy, yet this is from Allison. So, you know, I'm sure you got a lot of guff about your name growing up, but don't take it out on this poor guy.
Right, right. Leave this guy alone. He's just an Asian that wants to go to Comic-Con.
So, experto credo.
Oh, that's Latin for...
Yeah.
The
hell I'm talking about.
That's right.
None of this is weird. I went to the Anime Expo last year, and I'm in my 50s, and I had a trip this time.
Would you like to come to my van? I have candy. Yeah.
Not quite answering the question, but at once, at least, you know, offering some hope.
Right, right. Also offering creepy.
I'm guessing the poster here must have... you're asking questions all over the place today. Hey, anyway, I don't think it matters if you go alone. Bring your parents, bring your friends, your goals, have fun, right? I don't want to turn into Kyle Kinane all of a sudden.
You are! He's like, what is happening right now?
You can only do it with your parents, and by all means, bring your parents.
Just bring your parents.
Vice versa.
It's the night of 1,000 stars.
Yes, indeed.
Oh my God! I don't think that there is a better way to wrap this episode than with that. I think.
Yeah. So remember. Enemy equals cartoon.
Manja.
Manja equals comic.
Manja equals comic.
Equals comic.
But you ain't going to be one of them weird ones that reads it backwards, upside downs, are you?
What the hell?
We're in America. We read left to right. What?
Why can't they put them in American?
Why can't they put them in American readings? I don't flip books with my left hand. I flip books with my right hand.
Look, Chairman Mao, why don't you just give me... proper American book.
Damn it.
Alright. Doesn't realize that Manja comes from Japan.
I think it's time to wrap this up. Thank you guys for joining us on this journey. I implore any question. Take the time on your lunch break, if it's the weekend, if you're curled up, it's raining outside, and you're just curled up with your tablet, and you're reading Chaucer, but you need a break, jump over to Yahoo Answers and throw your favorite questions in, because I'll tell you, we've limited this to comic books. There are some seriously awesome answers to questions out there. You should check them out. Any question you might have, hit up Yahoo Answers. Oh my God, this is one. This is now in the top five Hey Kids Comics issues of all time for me. This quickly escalated to epic proportions. Thank you, Cole, for doing the research and lending your weighty repertoire of.
Yes, we've invited some new folks into the party, and I just had a blast. This was a brilliant idea. That the Yahoo Answers is just a rich resource. You just type in anything that crosses your mind. Chances are, there was very little miss, a lot of hits.
Oh, man.
And things that I thought, oh, this would be fun, and then I get into them, and I'm like, oh, thank you all, Yahoo Answers.
So why don't you plug us up and we'll get out of here.
My night. Yes, indeed. We are coming to you from Jedi Cole Universe Answers at JediCole.com. You can answer us at JCUMail@yahoo.com. You can answer tweet. Follow our Twitter answers at at the Jedi Cole U. And be sure every other is actually the first and third Sundays of every month from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. Check out myself and Eddie Medina as we bring you the Rantcore Pit live, streaming live during those hours and then archiving on the website. Go to watchonairlive.com. That is the first and third Sundays of every month. We just produced our third annual Galactic Film Festival, which was an absolute blast, and we're looking forward to bringing you some more Simple Tricks and Nonsense over
nice.
There
you go. So next week we'll get back to a little more serious. I have a feeling we're not going to get super serious for a little while as we recover in the back to tank that Batman is in from that last story arc, but we'll get a little more serious, not too serious, next week. But remember, buy, collect, and enjoy your comics. And as you have questions, make sure you also have Yahoo Answers. Good night, everybody. Say good night, Cole. Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you next week for more Hey Kids Comics.